This conference is being recorded.
All right. This is the greatest interview of all times because I have one of my best buds and the top internet and personal training and fitness coach in the world, Mr. Bedros Koulian, on the line right here. Hey, what's up, Bedros?
Hey, what's up? Stephen Hockman, what's up?
How you doing, man? Dude, I wanna just jump right into this, and the question that I wanna start with is, man, I wanna know, how the heck did you go from a poor kid living in a car to a mega fitness coach millionaire? I wanna know what was the mindset big aha that you got that took you from point A to point B?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Let me start off by saying, dude, that you are a serious inspiration. Every time you and I meet together, whether in person or on the phone, I end up getting a lot more ideas for bigger and better things. It almost seems like, you know, there's people in your life who kind of are kryptonite and suck the mojo out of you, and then there's others who kind of fan your flames. You're that guy to me. You're the latter guy. You really inspire me, and I want to thank you for that.
Oh, man. Thanks, man. I feel the same way.
No joke. I don't, you know, this... No joke.
Yeah, no, but dude, I really appreciate that, man.
That aside, one of the biggest aha moments, and I should tell you that when we came to America, I didn't live in a car. I actually managed to get myself in a car because I had a misunderstanding with my dad, and he kicked me out, and then I had a business fail, and so I figured, well, what I was doing is I couldn't afford to pay my rent and run my home business. At the time, I was selling supplements on the internet, and this was like 1998, 99. And so I figured, well, forget that, man. Who needs to pay rent? I'm not paying rent. I'm going to keep selling supplements because it was one or the other. I figured any day now that supplement business is going to take off. Anyway, fast forward a couple months, I get evicted. I'm in $55,000 debt because I maxed out all my credit cards, and I was living in my 79 Toyota pickup. And, yeah, good times. But that didn't last long. Before you know it, I was, sharing an apartment a couple months later with a friend. But my biggest aha moment was when I realized that we're all in the information industry for the most part. And if you can get your mindset out of the service, if you can get your mind out of thinking like you're a service provider and start thinking as yourself as an information provider, I don't want to overplay this word, being an information marketer. Sometimes it has a wrong connotation to it, but being an information marketer, you're really going to have that aha moment. Because as a service provider, at best, you're going to be able to provide whatever, 1 hour of training, half an hour of training at a time. And if you say, well, you know what, I'm going to leverage myself, I'm going to hire staff and trainers, well, you're still kind of a service provider and information provider because now you're disseminating information through your staff. But my biggest aha moment was when I realized, oh my gosh, on the internet, I can literally attract thousands. I can have my websites be my sales force for the thousands, and I can convert and sell and upsell and back-end sell all while I'm sleeping, while I'm vacationing, while I'm doing whatever, because the internet, unlike a brick-and-mortar business, is open 24 hours a day on holidays. And one of the greatest things that I love about it is on Christmas morning, I'll check my iPhone, and we'll see sales coming in because somebody decided that I'm done opening gifts, I'm going to get online, and maybe they received an email from me from my autoresponder system, and they decided to click buy now on whatever product I was selling. And no other business allows you to do that, but information selling. And so once I figured that out, I had that epiphany, like, oh my gosh, now I just need more products and a bigger list, and need to get that bigger list to know, like, and trust me, and I'm unstoppable.
Man, that is awesome. I think that's all about leverage, man. And I think, like, you know how you could take two trainers, and it really doesn't matter so much what they know as a trainer as far as technique goes, but it's like their mindset is what sets them apart. That's what makes someone, you know, super wealthy and happy and achieve what they want and really excel. And I've just from hanging around you so much, man, I just see your mind works different than 99% of the people I know, man. And I just I want to even drill down even more into, like, what the heck, like, how do you even, like, what's your attitude towards even getting up and, like, what's your plan every day? Like, how do you look at, like, each day from the moment you wake up, you know, right when your feet hit the floor? Like, how does your day start, man?
You know what, that's a good question. Believe it or not, that's a question I get asked more and more these days. I'm planning on making a YouTube video of it and compressing it all down to, like, 11 minutes or something, my day. But in a nutshell, and you and I recently talked about this, dude, was before I even go to bed, so before my day starts, the night before going to bed, I have to make my to-do list for the next day. Otherwise, one, I don't even sleep good because my subconscious mind is literally clawing at me, letting me know that I'm going to wake up unorganized and it's going to be a wasteful day. So the night before, I'll get my yellow legal pad and I'll just write my tasks. And my secret, by the way, to getting a lot done, because Chris McComb's always, you know, somehow has positioned me as the guy that gets more done in a day than others do in a month. But my secret is I put the hardest thing that I've got to do tomorrow on the top of the list. Not the funnest thing, but the hardest thing. And sometimes that's calling, you know, dealing with my banks, because I have several different authorized.net account and merchant accounts and so on. And so, believe it or not, they actually freak out when you start processing too much money, because they go, well, how can you start processing so much money? Don't you know we're in a recession? And so you have to talk them off the ledge. But I'll make a list the night before. I'll put the hardest thing first and then work my way down the list. It's usually a list of, you know, 4 to 8 to 10 things on a busy day. And when I wake up, you know, it's literally, I'll have my shake, train my wife in the garage. She's the only person that I train these days. And then off to the office I go. And from there, that legal pad dictates the rest of my day. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'll take phone appointments only in the mornings. Marilyn sets those up for me. But other than that, the other 3 days a week, and in fact, today's a Thursday. That's why we're on the phone together. And other than that, the rest of the time is dedicated to growing and expanding my business, not taking care of customer service issues. So I'll just chip away at that list. Now, it doesn't mean I always finish what's on that list, but if I put the hardest thing and the most priority thing on top of the list, I know I'll finish the top two things, three things. And so if I have the other things on the bottom, maybe it was, you know, writing an article for PFP Magazine or something, you know what, I'll knock it out tomorrow morning. But at least I got the hardest things done, and that to-do list, when I chip away at it and it's all done, to me, I almost give myself like this, you know, internal high five, like, hey, you accomplished something today. On the flip side, if I don't have that list, like I said, the night before I don't sleep because I'm always thinking, how's my day going to start? I get to the office, and it literally feels like there's tasks coming at me from different angles, and I don't know which one to handle, so I end up trying to multitask multiple tasks, and it never works out right.
Hey, man, that's awesome. Hey, let me ask you a question. What's your view on taking money from people for giving them a service? How do you feel about that?
You know what? We're going to be honest here, right, dude, Steve?
Hope so, yeah.
I mean,
I want to be straight up. I okay. Yeah, I really want to be just point blank direct. How do you feel about that?
I, you, and others in our position are not a nonprofit organization. I am a for-profit organization. Now, I donate to charities. I give to many, many people who deserve it. In fact, we give a lot, and I'm really proud of that. And I love being able to share the wealth, because I'm sure as hell not going to take it with me. But my attitude towards taking money, as Dan Kennedy says, extracting money, because we're in the money extraction business, is that as long as I can deliver 10 to 100 times the value that you paid, I deserve your money. So if I can sell you something for $10, and I am confident that if you put that product into action, it'll make you $100 to $1,000, then you know what? I deserve to get the money for that. And I deserve to get a lot of money for that. And I deserve to get a lot more money from you and make you a hypersensitive buyer and get more money from you in the future, as long as my product is not shallow, as long as it doesn't have a high refund rate, and by that I mean over 5%. A lot of companies have 15-20% refund rate, and if that happens on any kind of product, I know we're not talking information marketing here, but you got to pull that product off the shelf, and I have pulled products off the shelf for that reason. But as long as I'm delivering 10 to 100 times the value to you, I deserve your money and your friend's money and your friend's neighbor's money.
Awesome, man. Fair enough, man. I think a lot of trainers, they confuse with wanting to make a lot of money or wanting to have a lot of people pay the money with something somewhere in their childhood they were programmed that it was a bad thing. And how do you feel about this? Let's say you have a value that you could give someone that they really, truly, absolutely need. It's going to help them. It's going to benefit them. And you're going to give them 10 to 100 times more value than they pay you. How do you feel if you don't extract money from them, if you don't get them to buy from you? How do you feel about that after that, if that happens?
You know what? I would consider that person an ethical failure. I would. I feel that you and I truly feel this, Steve, that I have an ethical obligation to get as many personal trainers to buy my product and service as possible, only because I want them to be able to reach the maximum number of clients and influence those clients into getting fitter and having a healthier lifestyle. And why am I so passionate about it? Well, I was a pretty darn fat kid. You know, I was a latchkey kid. I would come home from school, take the shoelace off my neck that had the key, walk inside, call my mom at work, and let her know that I got home, and then it was grilled cheese and bologna sandwiches watching Montel Williams and the A-Team and Knight Rider. I'm sure you remember all those. I was a really fat kid. I had boobies. And it wasn't until I got into working out, it was only because it was high school by this point, and I was fat, and I wanted to make sure that I made it to prom. So in 11th grade, I started working out, so in 12th grade, I can get it make to prom. And honestly, I never did because I never asked any girl because I didn't have the confidence, and quite frankly, no girl showed me interest. But in that year, as my body changed, I got more and more confident, and I got into martial arts where I burned more calories and got into better shape and got even more confident. And honestly, my personality started to come out. Same personality that was always there, it's just the confidence allowed me to share it with the world. And that's why I became a personal trainer. Now, as a personal trainer, I could only influence so many people in my community. But then I decided that, gosh, you know, I'm really good at marketing. A lot of trainers are calling me, finding out how I got all these studios open, how I'm juggling so many clients, why my businesses are successful, why I'm making a strong six figures. Let me start sharing that information, because ultimately, as I share that information, I'm going to help more trainers influence the general public, get the same benefit that I got when I was a fat person. And so to me, I look at it as though I have an ethical obligation to share that information. And a trainer who has a knowledge to get Mr. and Mrs. Jones in the shape they want to be in, they've got you and I truly, as fitness experts, have an ethical obligation to persuade and influence others to buy our services to get in shape. They really do.
Hey, dude, who coached you? Like, who, when you were coming up, did you have someone that really influenced you and helped you?
You know, one particular client comes to mind. I mean, his name is Jim Franco, and honestly, he's a 65-year-old man. He's still alive and kicking right now. He's in Buena Park, California. And I was a trainer just doing the one-on-one gig, and this is before I even thought of doing 30-minute sessions. I was doing one-hour sessions. This guy was pretty funny because he would come into the gym. I worked at a gym in La Habra at this time. He'd come into the gym. He bought training from me. And it didn't matter who I had at Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 5 o'clock because, you know, part of my thing was, well, I had figured out a little bit of leverage because I would train clients, and then I was also good at selling. So I would sell prospects and then hand them off to other trainers in the gym. And if I had an intro, let's say Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 5 o'clock, he can give two shits. He would literally grab the whiteout off the desk, white them out, put his name in there, Jim Franco, and he was the one I was training every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and there was no exception to it. And, yeah, funny, funny character. And I lost a lot of sales because he would literally wipe people out and wouldn't tell anybody until one day I would see whiteout for next Wednesday, and, well, who was under there?
You did say this is the guy that helped you, though, right?
Yeah. I'm going to get to the part where how he helped me.
I'm just making sure it's good. Okay.
Yeah. In the beginning, he lost me a lot of sales, let me tell you. But so this guy, this is a funny thing that he does. You know, when you go to AutoZone or Pep Boys and, you know, say you've got a 2008 Chevy Tahoe and you want to buy an oil filter for it, you know how in that little computer they punch up the make and model and it tells you what model oil filter to get?
Yeah.
He owns a software company that updates the computer systems for all the AutoZones and Pep Boys and all those auto shop stores. So, you know, he's in the software business. So one day I'm asking him, Jim, you know, you get off work at 3 o'clock. You're here Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 5 o'clock. I see you here in the mornings playing racquetball with your friends. And I know you're a millionaire. I see it. I've been to his house one time before, and, you know, up in the hills in Fullerton and Coyote Hills. So I asked him, I said, you know, what do you do to make a lot of money? What do I got to do? And he's got this raspy voice because he smokes a lot of cigars. He goes, kid, get a little bit of money from a lot of people. And that was the aha moment for me. That was another aha moment because I realized that I'm only getting trading dollars for hours. And so I said, Jim, I've got this idea. I just bought a domain name called High Tech Trainer. I think that's kind of where I can go. I can do online personal training and reach clients. He goes, well, you know, the whole membership. He goes, I got, you know, hundreds of automotive store owners paying me $200 a month. Do you know how much that is? That's $8 million a year. And I was like, holy shit.
Wow.
So you know what it's like? It's like someone peeling away this, like, layers of cataracts off your eyes. If you can imagine, the cataracts person is always seeing things kind of shady and foggy and doesn't have a clear picture. And literally, as he's talking, layers and layers and sheets of this blockage is falling off, and I'm getting a clearer vision of what I could do. And so I said, Jim, I've got this domain name I bought. You know, I need someone to fund it. And he actually helped fund what is now High Tech Trainer. Now, that thing, actually, we reinvented three times. Had I just stopped it the first two times, I would have lost $150,000 of his money. But the third time was a charm. And all of it was subscription-based, but it was just in the beginning. We were trying to sell to health clubs, and it was on PDAs and on handheld devices, which was funny because gym goers were walking out with their own handheld devices. They would steal the gym's handheld device, so gyms were like, hey, we don't want to deal with you. And then it was on the internet, but we were trying to serve the end user directly, which was horrible since we didn't know internet marketing, and that failed. And finally, we decided, you know what, personal trainers want this tool. Why don't we make it available to trainers? And that's when it was a success. But he was the man that mentored me and coached me. You know, there's guys like Jay Abraham and Dan Kennedy, who I look at as my personal mentors and coaches. Jay Abraham, I've actually taken coaching programs from him before, where I would meet him three or four times a year in Las Vegas, along with a group of others. But these are the guys that influenced me. But then my biggest influence, again, that take a little bit of money from a lot of people, was Jim Franco. And I still go see him, you know, once or twice a month in Buena Park and sit in his smoky office. He still smokes. And he's got like 30 employees in his office, and they all smoke. It's the only business in California where they smoke indoors, and they come out smelling like a bar. But the guy is just cool people, man, and he's one of the biggest influences that I've had in business.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, like, I guess, like, when you look at it that way, gosh, if you could find 1,000 people to give you $10 a month for something of great value, there's $10,000 a month.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
the math is that simple. It really is.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Hey, I want to totally switch gears for a second here. Again, man, dude, I've been, every time we go somewhere, I just watch you. It's like a switch goes on in your mind, and your thought process, like I said, is just so unique and different. What do you think? It seems like every time we go somewhere, you got this way of like making everyone around you like you, and not only like you, but want to do business with you and want to do things for you. How do you do that, man?
Oh my God, I don't know if we've got enough time on this call, but
as being just a cool dude, but I mean, really, like, I know there's a strategy behind it. How do you do that?
You know, the strategy for me, because, you know, I'm 6 feet tall, you know, 230 pounds, and, up until recently I had a shaved head, but to some people I can come off pretty intimidating. I'm not the laid-back surfer dude. I'm a pretty intense guy at times. And so my thing is to completely break all the barriers by just being a funny, goofy, fun guy. And the first thing I like to do, and I know you heard this when we went to Valerie Waters' place, is I always make sure to get the aw effect from all the girls around me. Because once the girls around me go, aw, poor guy, then all the guys that I want to do business with feel that, well, gosh, he's like a big teddy bear. You know, all the girls like him. So my angle for that, I don't know if I should give that away here, but here goes nothing. And you heard me say it. You know, you got to work it in just right. But, you know, people always ask you, like, hey, so what's your story, da-da-da? You know, my whole thing is, well, you know, my mom didn't hug me enough as a child, so I'm very needy. I've got low confidence. Do you think I can have a hug? You know, and it's just like that. And I intentionally used a little Woody Allen voice. You know, well, my mom didn't hug me enough, and I'm real needy. And as a child, she just didn't give me the attention I need. Can you hug me? And all of a sudden, this big guy that's intimidating is like, oh, you know, and I get the hug, and the guys chuckle, and they get a good laugh out of it. And after that, it's just showing interest. People always ask me, what do you do? And I'll just say, ah, oh, you know, I just, you know, information on the internet. But tell me about you. What do you do? Let me get your opinion on about my business. Here's what it is. Tell me about it. And then the next thing I do is once I kind of break the ice, I always try and get them to talk. Because everybody wants to give them an opinion. So instead of always telling them about me, I'll say, hey, can I get your opinion on something? And then I'll lay it out. Well, here's my business. Like when we met Jason Moffitt, and you're going to have to edit all this out, apparently, I'm guessing, unless Jason Moffitt is not going to read it or listen to this thing. But
I'll definitely edit it out. All this won't be on the call. Don't worry.
Wink, wink. Yeah.
Wink, wink.
But when we met Jason Moffitt, I knew that he's an internet marketer, and I knew that he obviously kicks butt with video. So I was like, hey, Jason, you know, I market how-to business-building products for personal trainers. You know, let me get your opinion. How could I use video in my business? Well, that's his expertise. He wants to toot his own horn. He wants to talk about himself. So there, I gave him an opportunity to tell me how good he is. And then every time he keeps talking, I go, that's freaking brilliant. And really, the guy gave me brilliant ideas, brilliant strategies. But that's the thing. You break the ice. You get them to start talking and you know, wowing and impressing you. So even though when someone says, what do? I never answer that question. I'll just give them a little teaser, and I go, well, I do this, but I know you do this. Can you tell me how I can improve my business with what you know? And everybody wants to give you their opinion. Number
no,
three, and this is the third thing into this, is you got to break the physical barrier. Now, there's always an 18, you ever talk to someone, there's those close talkers, but most of the time when you're with people talking to them, there's that 18 inches of space. And that 18 inches of space could might as well be 10 miles. And as soon as you break that barrier of 18 inches and there's contact, you're in with that person. And so oftentimes when I'm talking to people and I want to get that rapport going, as I laugh, I'll just kind of like just gently tap the back of their arm and like, oh, my God, you're funny, you know, and just have some kind of physical contact, not inappropriate contact, but physical contact. And by doing so, now at every level, on the emotional level, you've connected with them. On an intellectual level, you've connected with them, and you've allowed them to position themselves. And then now on the physical level, you've connected with them. At that point, I'll say, you know what, I've got this awesome idea. I didn't even realize that you know so much. I've got this event coming up. Dude, it would be awesome if you could talk at it, speak at it. Can I count you in? And I don't say, you know, would you like to do it? Give me a yes or no option. It's more like, can I count you in? Almost putting them in a position to say yes. And, of course, he said yes. And I do that with every single opportunity I get to connect with people. And those are the three-step processes. But like you said, it's totally like a switch. When you and I are just hanging out, it's just you and I hanging out. But when I'm in a position where I know I can network and JV with people, and I need them to get notice of me, it's literally a switch goes on intentionally that I have to go through those processes. And in fact, one of the other things is if everybody's sitting down, you should be standing up. If everybody's standing up, you should be sitting down. Do something different to get attention without obviously, you know, looking like an idiot.
Dude, you know why I wanted to know that? That is so killer, by the way. Dude, that is your three-step approach to, you know, basically making people like you. Because if someone likes you, then they're going to buy from you. You know, I mean, you got like 99% more chance getting someone to buy from you that really likes you and has a rapport with you. And I think that a lot of trainers, man, I see them, they just focus on the, you know, the analytical stuff, like, you know, the real dry, here's your weight, here's where you need to be, and they get right into it, and they ask someone to buy before that person even likes them. And I think this is like some of the best sales tools that anyone could know, how to make people like you.
I got it. You're 100% right on that, man. You got to build rapport. In fact, IBM years ago did a study, you know, with their salespeople, and they figured out that within the first 45 seconds of meeting someone, they decide, one, if they like you or not, and two, if they'll do business with you or not. First 45 seconds. So if you're a personal trainer, and I've been guilty of this, let me tell you, if you're a personal trainer and you walk in 5 minutes late to an appointment and you smell like sweat or you smell like garlic because you just had, you know, garlic-infused chicken breast, guess what? Their decision is already made, even if you went through the most awesome sales presentation that Bedros has created for you. That doesn't matter. You made a crappy first impression. Step one, which is build a rapport of the seven-step sales process, is destroyed. So you're never going to get to step seven, which is the close, because step one is destroyed. So you're absolutely right. That relationship has to be built from the very first second.
Hey, you know, Bezos, what do you think? And also, by the way, that very first second, oftentimes nowadays, that relationship starts on the internet. You know, on your sales page, on your website. You know, all these principles that Bezos is talking about can be done in video, right? I mean, like in video, in your sales copy, and you being open and honest about yourself, just all that stuff could be started before they even come in and call you or meet you.
You know what? You're 100% right, and I'll give you a great example of that. I'm going to use you as an example. Your video, Chris McComb's video, and my mentorship client Sam, his video. Now, all three of you cater to personal trainers, have websites that cater, not to personal trainers, cater to the end user, to the consumer, and have videos and sales copy that really makes you feel warm and fuzzy towards you, because we get to see your transformation, your before and after. We get to see all the different people that you've influenced, get to read and hear your story. So well before meeting you, we've already decided that we like you or we hate you. And oftentimes, because of how you guys craft that, we like you. Now, another example is there's a lot of information products that I've bought from guys that I've never met on the internet strictly because, you know what, they're the kind of people that I would want to hang out with. I like them. And a lot of the information they sell, I already know. But I'm compelled to buy because even if I can take one little nugget, I can justify the $2,000-$3,000 because I like them. On the other hand, there's guys that rub me the wrong way or just our personality clash with me on the internet. And while I know they have things that I could probably benefit from, I'm not going to spend my money. Not interested.
Yeah, you know, and I would say even to take it a step further, you know, like especially on the internet, it's almost really beneficial to you if you could forget everything you know about fitness. Forget everything you know about any type of training, nutrition, anything like that, and just be cool. Just be likable. You know, just be a real person who has real feelings, who has real struggles, who's not perfect. You know, I think a lot of trainers want to come off as perfect. And I don't know about you, but I cannot relate to a person that's perfect. When I'm talking to someone and the first thing, you know, they say is, "Hey, man, yeah, I used to, you know, I come from a broken home," or, "Yeah, my parents left and it was really hard on me and I had a lot of emotional problems growing up." I mean, immediately I start building rapport and relating to them. If I meet someone who's like, "Yeah, my parents were perfect role models for me. I got straight A's in school and then I graduated with honors and then this," I mean, I'm already out the door, dude. I would never hang out with you because we're just so different.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very much the same way. I think inherently we all are. I mean, gosh, none of us have been perfect. And so why, and I don't even know where this all started. Maybe this is something from the 60s where everybody wore suits and it was clean cut, but behind closed doors, you know, real life happened. But I got to tell you, man, we're all imperfect. We all have issues. My gosh, you know, I've got severe ADD. In fact, the local school district, my parents brought me to America here, used me as a test subject for Ritalin, which was great. But you know what? I don't hide that. I share that with people because these days I know that every parent that I meet, that, you know, when I was a trainer, probably has a kid or knows a kid who had ADD. So I'm not going to pretend I'm perfect. No, I'm not. And we've all been in those positions. So we want to find points in other people's lives that we can relate to, as opposed to feeling superior over them and positioning ourselves like, "Oh, I'm perfect and that's why you need me." No, that's not why people bond with us.
Yeah, I think it's like you want to position yourself as maybe an idealized version of the person you're talking to. Just one slight step above, like, where that person goes, "Man, I could just take a step and get where you're at. Now, that's where I'd like to be." Just one step above.
And you know what? And there's a time for that. And there's a time exactly for that because, you know, another thing I'll give away. I don't know why you're going to put it. I'm probably going to ask you to delete all this, but it doesn't really much matter at this point.
No, we're not even recording right now, man. We're just talking.
Oh, perfect. Good. You know, when I'm speaking at the summit, one of the first things I'll mention are all of my downfalls. All of my downfalls. The fact that I lost $55,000 in my first attempt at business. The fact that I almost lost $150,000 of Jim Franco's money. And by the way, had I lost that, while he was a great guy, he still had asked me for the deed of my first house, which I had just purchased, a nice, small, tiny little house. And so he's a shrewd businessman. So had I lost his money, I would have lost my house. But, you know, my ADD issues, the fact that I, dropped out of college and was a failure in that way, the fact that it took me 4 attempts to get ACE certified. I got rejected 3 times by ACE. I mean, a certification, for crying out loud, that people pass with their eyes closed. I was stressed over it. I'm not the best educated, the best student. However, after that, I took time to improve myself. And then, now I'm in a position where I make 7 figures. I can launch businesses within days and products within days and find profit streams in businesses that otherwise people think are failing. But the very first thing I'll do when I get on stage and I'm talking is you got to relate to people. Look, these are all my downfalls. These are all my downfalls. Here's how my personal training business almost went in the toilet 12 different times. But I'm also the guy who has helped celebrity trainers, get on TV. I'm also the guy who has helped 2 personal training companies each make over $20 million a year. I'm also the guy who has, and you fill in the blank. And so the perception you're giving then is if I can do it, you can do it. But you always got to start off with, hey, look, this is me, and I can't imagine you being that low right now. And now I'm a place a step or two above you. But if I can do it, you can do it. And that's that process that people just forget and fail to go through.
Oh, man, that hit the nail on the head. Hey, man, I want to shift gears again and ask you this. What do you think the top 3 biggest mistakes right now personal trainers are doing that's just killing their business and their profits?
Top 3 biggest mistakes, off the top of my head. Number 1 would probably be, in fact, is they're too general in who they choose to do business with. They're way too general. Even if you say, well, I'm only going to train women. Okay, that's still pretty general. How about women who are soccer moms who live in this zip code? So you got to find a niche. You got to specialize. No one goes to their primary care physician to have brain surgery, right? That's their general doctor. So no one's going to go to a personal trainer who also works with, executives, athletes, children, stay-at-home moms, prenatal, postpartum, wedding, getting ready for wedding. But if you're the renowned personal trainer who's known to work with moms who've had babies and need to get back in shape in 8 weeks or less, well, guess what? You're going to get published. You're going to find magazines that are obviously tailored and catered towards prenatal, postpartum moms. So you're going to have to position yourself in a niche. You're going to have to, one, serve a niche. Number 2 is a lot of personal trainers, man, are still working on the old one-on-one method and doing one-on-one personal training, whether it's 60 minutes or 30 minutes. You've got to leverage your time, and you've got to give people programs that's more in line with their budget. Now, considering what the economy is today, and I'm not one to really dwell on it because my business is flourishing and my clients' businesses are flourishing, but it's because many of my clients are not offering, $200 training sessions or $100 training sessions. It's more like, hey, you can pay $29 a session because it's a group of 6 to 8 people training in a group program. So you've got to come up with creative ways to leverage your time versus dollars and make it budget friendly. Get away from the one-on-one 30s, one-on-one 60s. You're going to open up a personal training studio, plug in personal trainers in there who can do group training for you. One trainer with, 3, 5, 8 clients at a time. So that's the second thing, is you got to leverage your employees and your time. And the third thing is really just all about marketing. If you're a personal trainer and you're worried about branding yourself, forget it. Brand advertising works for Coca-Cola, Nike, Gatorade, because they've got all this money in the world to throw at it. You and I, we want to do direct response. We want to hold our marketing accountable. If I send out 5,000 postcards and it does not pull a single person, that marketing needs to be accountable. But if I have the same logo and tagline in 5 different magazines across the city, and I'm getting 4 calls a week, but I don't know where it's coming from because, well, I got the same logo in 5 different magazines across the city, that's not accountable marketing. What I'd rather do is say, I know in this community there are homes worth $1.2 million, and there's a lot of stay-at-home moms because that's the type of community it is, and that's my target market. So I'm going to send out targeted, niche-specific, hot-button-oriented, in other words, catering to their needs and wants, postcard with an irresistible offer to those 200 homes. Well, you're probably going to pull 10 to 15 leads. Out of those 10 to 15 leads, you probably end up getting 5 to 8 paid clients out of 200, 250 homes. Happens to many of my clients all the time. But that's targeted marketing. And now you can quantify and justify that mailing. But if you sent that postcard out to 5,000 homes across Irvine, California, well, that's pretty vague in general. So you got to dial in your marketing. Stay away from brand and advertising-based marketing. And go for direct response marketing. Target a niche. Give them that irresistible offer. Find out what they want, and then put it in front of them. You got to do direct response marketing so you can hold your marketing accountable.
Hey, Bezos, you know that also something you were saying just made me think of this. What do you say to trainers that say this? I hear this once in a while, and I almost flip out. Like, I almost can't even compose myself to give a decent answer. You'll have trainers, and you'll start, you know, telling them, hey, if you're just starting your business or you want to, like, really grow a good base, go ahead and charge, you know, like, $15 or $20 a session for about 20 people or so, and, you know, really get that base going. And or, you know, like, say they already have a really good base, and they're charging, like, $70-$80 a session. And you explain to them that if you charge a little bit less and do group training, that, you know, you could make a lot more per hour. And then you get this weird, every once in a while, you get this weird response where someone will say, well, you know, I don't really want to charge less because I feel like I'm devaluing my training. And you're like, look, dude, you're like, you haven't made a profit, or you haven't increased your business in like 2 years. You know, you could make six figures in the next 3 months if you just do this, but they just can't get over their head. They think, like, value equals amount per session or something. What is that, man?
You know what, dude? You just answered your own question with your own answer. That's exactly what they do. They base their value on what they charge. See, I charge $12,000 a year for my private coaching. Now, if you came to me tomorrow and you said, Bedros, you know what? For the last 3 years, I've been plugging away numbers, and I've deduced that if you don't charge $12,000 and you charge $9,000 a year, you can get 15 more private coaching clients. Guess what? I would instantly drop to $9,000 a year to get those 15 extra coaching clients. My income, my hourly rate, or my rate, I should say, doesn't translate to my value. What translates to my value is my relationship with my family, my kids, how my kids feel about me, how my wife feels about me, et cetera. So all I strictly want is money to be able to afford the lifestyle that I have and to be able to share the wealth with those that I want to share with, period. So what do I say to trainers like that? I walk away from them. Honestly, I do. I just walk away. And you shrug your shoulders and you walk away because the math works out. It makes sense. So obviously, if you don't want to make more money, well then, gosh, you needn't talk to me because I'm the guy that helps you make money. On the other hand, you want to be the guy that charges $200 a session? You know, I bet you can find a handful of clients who can pay $200 a session, and you can walk around town saying, well, I charge $200 a session, and base your value on that. And the other guy can say, I charge $29 a session, and I make way more at the end of the year than you do. So, you know, I just walk away. There used to be a time that I would try and educate them, break out the calculator and the paper and the pen and da-da-da-da-da, and one time on an airplane, I just happened to be sitting next to the personal trainer and didn't even realize it. So he goes, you know, we start chit-chatting, and he says, what do you do? And, you know, that was the kiss of death question because I told him what I do. And he goes, oh, let me pick your mind. And so we got 2.5 hours from Seattle to California, and he's picking my mind. And so I get this napkin, and I start drawing out figures and schematics and marketing strategies and all of that for him because he was just doing one-on-one 60 with, you know, something like $75, $80 an hour. This was like 4 or 5 years ago. So I draw it all out for him. For all intents and purposes, Steve, I made an info product out of that gosh damn napkin there they give you on the airplane. When we land, he takes this thing and he folds it once, and he folds it twice, and he folds it a third time, tucks it in his little shirt pocket, and he goes, all right, well, thanks for the info. I'll think about it, and he leaves.
Wow.
Now, do you know what people would do for 2.5 hours of my time?
Wow.
And so, one, free information doesn't work anyway. I never give out free information anymore. Number two, I should have qualified him and said, you know, what do you want to achieve in life? Obviously, he wasn't looking to make more money. He liked the idea of it. It sounded pretty and nice. But, again, I just want to be able to charge maximum dollars per hour. Well, you know what? Go get a job somewhere where you can get paid that if that's what your self-esteem comes from.
Yeah, definitely, man. I think that's good advice there. Hey, what do you think the top three things someone could do? You kind of answered them a little bit, but let's just really drill down. I'm a personal trainer, I want to increase my income right now. What do you think the top three things are that someone could do, like, right now? I don't mean, like, create a website, do this. I mean something they could go out and do tomorrow or even right now, today, that would start immediately increasing their income.
Gosh, I don't even think you need a top three, so I'm just going to tell you the top number one. And I've done this, and I know you've done this because I heard you do it. Get a list of your entire circle of influence. That's clients, past clients, friends and family, and coworkers if you have any. A list of their names and telephone numbers. The average person has a circle of influence of about 55 people. You get 55 people on a list, and you pick up the phone, and you start dialing for dollars. And you say, hey, this is Bedros. Now, if you're calling a client, the pitch is going to be, hey, this is Bedros. You're one of my clients, and I got to tell you something. I've got an opening in my schedule, and I'm real desperate to fill it. And so I've got this group training program, as you know, and these are my openings. Do you have any friends, family, or coworkers that you can refer to me? And if you can, I can give you a week of personal training, and they can get the lowest possible rate on my program. I'm waiting, Mrs. Jones. What is that person's name and number? And you just go down that list of 50. And I promise you, of that list of 50, about a third of them will give you two names each. So let's work out the math here. 55 divided by 3, I don't know, what is that, 15 people? Giving you three names apiece or two names apiece. So you've got 30 leads. Now, don't you think out of those 30 leads, you can give a complimentary consultation because now they came referred. Call them up and say, hey, you came referred from my friend or from my client or from my colleague or from my mom. And so I want to give you two complimentary training sessions and a nutrition eval, total value of $249 because they trained with me and they thought that you'd be a good candidate. Mrs. Jones, can we get you in here today or tomorrow? AM or PM, and then boom, appointment set. And of those people, don't you think at least half, you know, those 30 people, at least half, 15 of them would set the appointment? And of those half, couldn't we close at 50%? And if you can't close at 50%, go buy my closed clients DVD and close at 90%. But can't you close at 50%? So that's 7.5 people at $2,000 a training program. And again, that's on the low end, but I like to be very conservative, 7.5 times 2,000, I'm running the numbers right here. Well, holy shit, that's $15,000. Now, you do that on a recurring basis. Let's divide that by 12. 15,000. All right, 15,000. We're going to divide that by 12. Wow, that's $1,250 a month in recurring revenue. Now, right there, you just got yourself a nice chunk of change. Dialing
and
for dollars.
And it costs you not a dime out of your pocket.
Not a dime out of your pocket.
Oh, man.
So I mean, you know, I've done that so many times when I worked in health clubs. When I moved into from Anaheim to San Diego, I just had to start calling people in my circle of influence. Now the problem there is people love the idea. Everybody loves the idea of, well, can't I just do a marketing piece? Because that doesn't require getting rejected. That doesn't require talking to somebody. I don't want to feel uncomfortable, Steve. Can't I just send out a letter, or a flyer, or a postcard? And then when that shitty letter, flyer, postcard doesn't work, can't I just cross my arms and say, well, I tried? No! Pick up the damn phone and call. Get rejected. It's the best way to learn.
I think one of the best things you can do is get comfortable with getting rejected. You know, I mean, not even care. And it's actually, honestly, Bezos, once you get comfortable with getting rejected, it kind of becomes fun. Like, I really don't give a shit if you say yes or no. I'm just calling. Like, when you have that attitude, even with closing clients sometimes, like when you really don't give a shit, it's actually really freaking, it's pretty badass. It's actually pretty exciting.
Yeah,
you know,
I
you
mean,
make
100%, dude, because let's look at it this way. Like we talked about earlier, you've got an ethical obligation to get your information out of your head and influence as many people as possible. See, people don't realize that they need you sometimes. You know, you go to the doctor, and he says, you know what, he starts palpating you, and he feels this lump next to your kidney or something. And he goes, holy shit, I think you might have some kind of a kidney cancer or a goiter in your kidney. Well, guess what? You want to avoid it. Yeah, I don't know, doc. I don't think I do. I'm fine. I feel great. No. You know what? We need to take a biopsy. What does the doctor do? He doesn't go, oh, fuck, you feel great. Go ahead, have a merry day and keel over in 3 weeks. No. He says, he prescribes. He says, look, here's what could happen to you if you stay on this path. So here's what we need to do next, and now we're going to set the appointment. If you're that authoritative, if you're that convicted that your services is going to change somebody's life, then you've got an ethical obligation, just like a doctor, to influence others, persuade others.
And I think also, like, once you start doing it, you know, after you get into the swing of things, you really do become desensitized if someone's not interested. You're almost like, okay, cool, thanks, bye. Like, yeah. you know, you don't have to stay on the phone. Okay, well, hey, how's your kids? All right, cool. All right, thank you, bye. And then you just hit the next one. And you know it's a numbers game.
That's really, you know, and this is going to be the oldest one in the book, oldest one in the book. But what did they say? Babe Ruth hit, I don't know, I don't follow baseball, but he hit like a million home runs. But then the other statistic is he also has the highest stats for, like, striking out, right, that nobody ever talks about. So, come on, doesn't the same thing apply in business? Absolutely.
Kind of like the old one, the every no is closer to a yes. So if you know every one out of, you know, one out of 10 is going to say yes, well, then you know that every you know, you're going to get nine no's and the next call is going to be a yes. And you just got to think of it that way. But I like what you said. What did you say about, I'm ready, Mrs. Jones, go? How did you say it? When you ask for the name?
Oh, yeah. You know, so, hey, Mrs. Jones, you know, do you have any friends, family, coworkers that obviously could benefit from my personal training programs, because I've got this opening in my schedule. They're going to get an awesome rate. And when you get on board, you get a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks of personal training for free. And I'll tell you what, I got the pen and paper in front of me. I'm ready. What is that number? So you don't ask the question. You say, do you have any? So you start with the question, but it ends in a statement of, so you never wait for an answer. In other words, yes or no, I do have people or I don't have people I can refer. So I'm ready, Mrs. Jones. I got the pen and paper in front of me. What are their names and numbers?
Dude, I love that, man. And you know, it's funny. I found that when you use little techniques like that, your conversion of having people just give you names and numbers because you took that authority position goes through the roof. Like when I would dial for dollars like that, I'd say, yeah, you know, let me get the name and number of like five of your friends that this would be perfect for. Hold on 1 second. And then I like kind of put the phone down. And then I come back and I'm out of breath. Okay, I got a pen. Go ahead. You know?
Yeah, exactly. That, I think, by the way, when you told me that, I thought that was the most brilliant system, because they're going to feel horrible to the fact that, gosh, you went all the way over there, grab a pen and paper, and now that you came back only to get rejected by them and say, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I had to run downstairs and get a pen, and the box was sealed up, so I had to open it. I actually ran back up, and then I had to run back down again. Okay, go ahead.
By the way, I just had a knee surgery. Boy, that was painful.
Yeah. By the way, my hemorrhoids are flaring up, too. And okay, go ahead. Oh, man, that's awesome. Dude, that is super killer. Hey, Bezos, let me ask you this, man. I know you got just, dude, I'll be honest with you. Every single thing that I've checked out of yours, and I know you got a new blog, ptpower.com, which is insane you know, getting the most insane free fitness tips ever and strategies. And I think it's unconventional, out-of-the-box fitness tips, systems, and strategies. And what I love about your blog, dude, and what I love about everything you do is that you break it down step by step. You know, I know you got a little saying where you chew it up. You know, you chew it up for me. You swallow it, and then you put, or you chew it up, feed it to me, swallow it, then you pump my little stomach to help me digest it. And it seems like you break down everything so simple where you can just go out and do it. You know, it's not that complicated to make a high six-figure, seven-figure income if you just do these simple steps. Where can people get just more of your cool stuff that you got going on right now?
Yeah, no problem. In fact, yeah, I love that blog because part of it for me is a soapbox for me to get up and rant, and I really appreciate the hundreds of trainers who leave me comments, and 99.9% of the time they're positive. There's always that one riffraff who says, you used the shit word, I can't read shit. Don't you know shit's a bad word? I'll never read this kind of shit again, and they leave, and that's not the person that I wanted anyway. I wanted to repel them. But for the most part, I give a lot of great information, a lot of great marketing tips, stuff that could otherwise be packaged and sold. I give it away for free at my new blog, and it's called ptpower.com, just like that, ptpower.com. And you know what? In fact, I gotta have you do a couple of posts for me because I love the way you think, and I think my crowd would enjoy hearing your voice.
Well, definitely, dude. I'll just keep doing it. I remember you put one of those videos up that we did about, you know, how to do my human billboard system, you know, how to do the six figures in 6 months or less in personal training. And
you know, I was reading all the comments, and they're all like they were all good. They're like, yeah, man, that's cool, that's cool. And then I got to that one. What was that one? It was like a boot camp guy that was like saying that he couldn't. Oh, fuck, what was it? The dude that was saying, he goes, I can't get, you know, that won't work because people are really sketchy about giving their information for auto debit, and they don't want to do that, and they don't want to do this. And I was literally like jumping out of my skin. Like, it was like the one dude in like 20 or 30 comments. And then I saw that you responded right back after him saying, hey, it doesn't matter if you were selling it for like $99 a month, you're going to get the same results, you know, basically with that thought process.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just that scarcity mindset that he has. And in fact, the blog I did right after that was, what was it, 7 Stupid Things Rookie Entrepreneurs Do to Mess Up Their Profits. One of them was just that. And one of the stupid things was the mentality of, yeah, but my business is different. Essentially, that's what he was saying. Yeah, but my business is different. People here are sketchy about auto debit. No, you're sketchy about auto debit, and so you transfer those feelings upon your clients, and you feel they feel the same way, and so they're not going to make the money. And, you know, again, that guy, you and I can sit next to for hours and try and do knowledge transfer and literally crack our heads open and crack his head open and try and pour our brain into his entire body repels us, rejects us, and that guy will just never get it. Now, I like to be the optimist guy and go, you know what, I'm optimist, and you know, one day he's going to get it, and he may, but with that kind of mentality, he won't. I mean, just above his post, there was like 25 posts were like, oh my gosh, that's brilliant. People were like, oh my gosh, I just used this and got like 6 new clients in a period of 5 days from it. So there's people who used it and who are posting there and saying, this shit works. And he's with the proof there. He's saying, no, I don't think it's going to work. It's just, it's not for me. All right. It's not for
me. Yeah, man. I think it's not rocket science. Just see what other people are doing that's working and use it, and then, you know, put your own spin on it if you want as well, man. Definitely.
That's it. That's really it.
Well, dude, Bezos, man, as always, man, it's an honor to talk to the great Bezos, dude. And, hey, man, I definitely appreciate it, bro. And, dude, keep kicking butt out there, bro.
Steve Hockman, thanks for the opportunity, man. This was very therapeutic. I enjoyed it.
You got it, man. I'm glad I could provide some therapy.
All right, pal. We'll see you later.
All right, dude. Later. Bye.